Revelation, please. Chapter 5 of Revelation. Keep your Bible open there, if you will. One verse of Scripture, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. Turn over, if you will, please. 12th chapter of Revelation. And they overcame him, verse number 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Turn over, please, to the 13th chapter. And I may use this as a text. Verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Chapter 14, first verse. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. The lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. I want to use that as the text from chapter 13, verse 8. Bow your hearts with me, please. Gracious Father, we thank you for the reading of the Holy Scriptures. And I pray that the anointing of the Holy Ghost shall come upon these lips of clay. Let them speak as the oracles of God. Anoint our ears with ear salve and let us hear. And quicken our hearts together and let that word fall on good ground. Allow faith to come alive in every heart in this place, this hour. Minister to the need of every soul. And don't let one person leave this place disappointed. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody shouted amen and amen. I am reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 13, and I will use this as a text. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. For you that are listening by means of radio, as well as you that are in my audience today, I have read several portions of Scripture concerning this particular phrase, the Lamb of God. And I just came through a study of these Scriptures, and I found that there are four different occasions that the word Lamb of God is used. And I want to correlate these four together. First of all, a lamb for a man, a lamb for a house, a lamb for a nation, and a lamb for the world. And it's so striking when you begin to study these particular Scriptures that the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world, all these other lambs was nothing but a type of the spotless Lamb of God that was to give his life on Calvary. And even though they all preceded him, yet he was before them. Before the foundations of the world, the Lamb was slain. Can you shout amen? Now, the first one that I want to talk to you about today is found in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, a lamb for a man. And it's the story of Abraham. When God gave a promise to Abraham, he gave him a son. And every one of you know the trial and the test that he went through, how that he implemented this particular promise by using the flesh. And he had a son by the flesh. But God had nothing to do with that son. God doesn't need any help from the flesh to do his work. Can you shout amen? No matter how old Abraham is, he considered not his own body now dead, neither the deadness of his wife's womb. But he realized that if God gave the promise, that God was big enough to bring that promise to pass. And when Isaac was born, after he moved into an age of adolescence, after that faith was put into operation, and you that listen to me on radio, you hear me say this many times, and it's so true. When you learn how to put your faith to work, and you see the results of that faith, then that faith has to be tested. Every new step that you take, you have to go through the fire. You have to go through the test to find out whether or not the reality of it comes because you are trusting in his word and in his word alone. God gave Abraham a son and then puts him to the ultimate test. And God said, take your son up on the mountain and offer him up as a sacrifice. You know the story well. Abraham did not question God. He didn't say, this is the devil trying to cheat me out of my inheritance. But he knew the voice of God, and he took two of his servants with him and his own son and said, let's go. We're going up on the top of a mountain, and we are going to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Now, he had the sacrifice with him because he heard the voice of God. And when he got halfway up into the mountain, he said to his two servants, stay here. Me and my son will go up and offer worship to God and a sacrifice, and we will be back. Abraham knew that God was called Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Can you shout praise the Lord, somebody? Abraham gave his son the wood and the rope. And he carried the knife in his hand. And finally his son said to him in this 22nd chapter of Genesis, Father? And he said, yes, son, I hear your voice. What do you want? He said, you have the knife for the sacrifice, and I have the rope and the lumber for the altar. But where is the sacrifice? And he said, son, the Lord will provide a lamb for the sacrifice. This is the first time that a lamb was mentioned. And this is a lamb for a man. A lamb for a man. Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ here, where he was placed on the altar of sacrifice. And Abraham was going to go through the ritual, and he was going to bring the dagger down upon his own son's life. Jesus Christ is a type of this particular sacrifice. However, Jesus died, and he is not unlike Isaac here. But there was a provision made for the sacrifice of a lamb. And Jesus was symbolic of that lamb. And when Abraham took that knife in his hand to bring it down on his own son, the angel from heaven spoke out and said, now I know that you love me more than you love your own son. He said, turn around, Abraham. And when he turned around, he saw the ram caught in the thicket. This is the sacrifice. Thank God, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. And this all looks forward to the final lamb, which we will get into a little later. But as a result of this particular experience in the life of Abraham, God said to Abraham, because you loved me more than you loved your own son, then in blessing I will bless you and I will multiply you. And as the sands of the sea are and as the stars of the heaven are, all of your seed shall be blessed. And that's what I want to tell every one of you that are here this afternoon, that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are a blessed child of God. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. He said, all of these blessings shall overtake you. They shall come upon you. And he said, I'll bless you going in. And I'll bless you coming out. and I'll bless your basket, and I'll bless your store. I'll bless the fruit of your womb. I will bless your seed. I'll make you the head and not the tail, and everything you set your hands to, I will bless it. We are the blessed of the Lord as a result of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Not long ago, I went to Haiti to preach, and we've been told that Haiti is a land where people are suffering in poverty. But I went down there and turned it around, and I said, God don't have any poor folks. If you're a child of God, you're rich. You're not poor, but you are rich. And all of a sudden, they stood up like they were 6 foot tall, even though they didn't have any money in their pocket. But they realized they had the faith of God, and God said he would bless them. This Bible works in Haiti as well as it works in Dallas, Texas. Can you shout amen? And I've come to Dallas to tell you that God wants you blessed. If you're sick in your body, he's here to heal your body. If you have a financial need, he will minister to that need. Last night when I was receiving an offering, a lady missionary came by. And she said, Brother Shambach, I just came back from Haiti. And I want you to know the curse of poverty has been lifted from that island. She said, I sensed it when I was there. When I was in my campaign, 5 days into that campaign, I felt that foul curse of poverty that was on that land. I felt it lift from the country of Haiti, and we moved it out to sea where it belongs. God's people are blessed people. Raise your right hand and shout, we are blessed. I'm reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse number 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. I'm talking about the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world. In the Old Testament, we have pictures of these particular lambs that were slain, which was the type of Jesus Christ that was to give his life on Calvary. A lamb for a man, and a lamb for a house. My message is titled, Four Lambs. Four lambs, a lamb for a house. And I believe it's particular, in particular, God wants every one of us to know that the blood of Jesus Christ is efficacious for each one of us as an individual. Salvation is for the person, but it doesn't stop there. There was a lamb that was slain for the house. And I want to encourage every one of you parents that are here with me this afternoon, and you that are listening by means of radio, you may be the only one saved in your house, but I want you to know that that blood was shed for every member of that family. And God is not going to stop until the whole family comes under the protection of the Lamb of God that was slain for the entire household. Can you shout praise the Lord with me, somebody? A lamb for a house you will find in Exodus chapter 12. You can read this in your devotional time. But this is when God was on the verge of bringing his people out of bondage and out of captivity. There is a way out. Pharaoh is a type of the devil, and he would not turn God's people loose. Just because a prophet came and stood before him and said, Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, he would not set them free. But God hardened his heart. But there's one particular sign that God gives that the devil has to turn you loose. And that's the sign of blood that is shed. God said to Moses, Moses, the time of deliverance has come. And every one of us who are under this tent tonight that's in bondage, I got a note from a man when I walked under this tent today. And he said, Brother Shambach, this is it. I've got it in my pocket. He said, if I don't get deliverance today, then I'm going to die. This is my life or death day. I'm sick and tired of being in bondage. And I guaranteed him I'm going to set him free by the power of God. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to live in distress. You don't have to live bound by the devil. But Jesus Christ, that spotless Lamb of God, died on Calvary 2,000 years ago in order that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Can you raise your hands and shout amen? Let me get back to the Old Testament again. God said to Moses, this is one sign old Pharaoh's got to give into. He said the death angel's coming through the land. And he's going to slay the firstborn of every member of the household. Not only members of the household, but the firstborn of the flock. The firstborn of the stable. Every living thing, the firstborn is going to die when that death angel comes through the land. And right away Moses got on the defensive. And he said, but Lord, what about your people? God said, I know how to take care of my folks. He said, you tell my people to take a lamb without a spot. And do you notice, let me digress here for a moment. Do you notice that these four lambs, every time where there's a lamb slain, it had to be one of three things. Well, all three things. Three things were significant. It had to be a male lamb. It had to be the firstborn. And it had to be without a spot or without a blemish to be offered to God. And God said to Moses, you take a lamb without a spot, without a blemish, and slit its throat. Take a knife to it and drain the blood and put it in a basin. Take some hyssop and dip it into the blood and sprinkle it on the doorposts and on the house of every one of my people. And when that death angel comes through the land and slays the firstborn of every household, when he sees the blood, he'll pass over that house. God has a protection for his children. Can you shout amen, somebody? And I'd like to encourage every one of you that are children of God, you will never see death. I said you will never see death. Some of you are looking at me cross-eyed now. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, you have eternal life. Somebody says, you mean to tell me you're not going to die? That's what I'm trying to tell you. I might move out of this house I'm living in, but I ain't going to die. You're not looking at me. You're looking at the house I'm living in. Hallelujah. One of these days, this mortal will put on immortality. Can you shout amen? This corruption will put on incorruption. I wish I had time to dwell on this particular lamb for the house, because every one of us need to hear this. Listen to me. There is a doctrine going around in the world today that once you get saved, you're always saved. And there's going to be a lot of people in hell who believe that thing. Listen to me. And it all stems back to a lamb for a house. A lamb for a house. God said, as long as you stay under the protection of that blood, you are covered. But if you walk out voluntarily on your own free will from under the protection of that blood, then you will be slain just like I slew that thing. Shout amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Now, all I can tell you is, when I was a young lad, my mama kept us in the house on Sunday. She raised us strict. She said, you are not going to play outside the house. This is God's day, and we're going to give it to him. And my daddy was a railroader, and he always worked that 3 to 11 shift. And we couldn't wait till Papa got out of the house, because Mom had so many kids, she never missed one of us, or even two of us. And me and my brother would get together and we'd sneak out of that house. Soon as Pop would be gone, we'd be gone. Now what I'm trying to say is this. If I lived back yonder in those days and God gave the command to Moses and Moses gave the command to the head of the house to keep everybody in the house. Keep him in the house. As long as you're in the house, you're protected because the blood is on the house. But don't allow any of them kids to get out of the house. But I'll tell you, if I was living then, I'd have got out of that house. And if I would have been the firstborn while that angel was coming through the land, I would have been out from the protection of the blood, and I would have been slain because the angel had its orders. And I've come to Dallas to tell every one of you, your protection is under the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world.
Salvation doesn't come from joining a church or from shaking a preacher's hand, but salvation comes because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary, the spotless Lamb of God, in order that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God I'm saved. How many of you know you're saved? Turn around and tell somebody, say, I know I'm saved. If you don't know it, say, I'll know it before the day's over. Thank God for the blood. A lamb for a house. And every one of you mothers and dads that are listening to the broadcast, God will not stop until every member of your family is saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Give Jesus a big hand clap, everybody, will you please? Revelation chapter 13. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Worthy is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. A lamb for a man, a lamb for a house, and a lamb for a nation. You'll find that in Leviticus chapter 16. You can read that in your devotional time. God has always used a lamb which was pointing to his own son, the lamb that he will provide, Jehovah Jireh. All these events are leading up to Calvary. But this is a lamb from the nation. And I'd like for every one of you to study that in your Bible just to see how meticulous God was in getting his people prepared to slay a lamb. Two lambs. One of them hands were laid upon to transfer the sins of the nation onto the lamb and then turn him loose and let him run into the wilderness. And the other lamb was taken and slain. And the blood had to be carried into the most holy place and sprinkled on the mercy seat. And God would come down one time every year. Now hear me. This is how God dealt with the sins of a nation. Israel, his people. Every year called the Day of Atonement, when a spotless Lamb of God was taken, nobody was permitted to go into the Holy of Holies but the high priest. Aaron was the only one permitted in there. And he was only allowed in there when he had a blood sacrifice. A lamb had to be slain for him. A lamb had to be slain for his house. He had to be cleansed before he could handle the sacrifice for the whole nation. And there he met God on the inside of the Holy of Holies. Now hear it. I was reading it to my wife in the hotel. I said, honey, listen to this. The robes that were made for Aaron, so specific on what the material was to be made out of. The mitre that he had on his head, the jewels that were in, each of them were symbolic. And I don't have time to go into symbolisms today. But I want you to know that God was definite when he told his people what to do about offering a sacrifice for the sins of a nation. And here at the end of the robe that was made were tiny little golden bells made out of pure gold. As he went into the holy place, because if God met him there and would not accept the sacrifice of his son or the sacrifice of that animal, God would kill the high priest. He would die in his presence. The people were not allowed into the Holy of Holies, so they had their ear tuned in, and they were going to listen for the jingle of the bells, because they knew that after the sacrifice was offered and they heard the bells jingling, they knew Aaron was still alive. And they started rejoicing and giving thanks to God, because they knew that the sacrifice for sin was accepted and they are free from sin for another year. The whole nation, their sins were blotted out because they did what God told them to do. But now let me go back. I have time in this particular broadcast because I want to go back to a lamb for a house. Go back to that time when God brought deliverance to his people. Not only did he provide a deliverance for their soul, but he provided deliverance for the whole man. Because God told them to stay inside the house, and take that lamb and roast it. Every part of it, roast it, and then eat it. Pick the bones clean. Don't waste any of it. Every bit of them inside the house ate roast lamb. And the next morning, when God brought them out of bondage and out of captivity, hear it now, 3 million people, not one of them had sugar diabetes. Not one of them was paralyzed with a stroke. Not one of them had to be wheeled out in a wheelchair. No grandmas were let out with a grandchild. Why? Because 3 million of them were healed by the power of God because they ate roast lamb. Are you listening to me? This is a healing service this afternoon, and that's why I'm preaching like this, because God wants you well. My Bible says when he brought deliverance to his people, there wasn't one feeble person among them. The reason why there were no feeble people among them was because they spent the night eating roast lamb. Somebody says, I think I'll run down to the A&P and get me a leg of lamb. I'm not talking about that kind of lamb. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. Can you shout amen, somebody? Somebody says, but how can I eat Jesus' flesh? Turn to John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. Jesus is the Word in the flesh. Shout amen, somebody. And if you're going to be healed, eat the Word. Eat his flesh. Sugar diabetes gotta go. High blood pressure gotta vanish. He wants you to eat roast lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy is the lamb slain from the foundations of the world. Hallelujah. This afternoon we're going to eat some roast lamb. We're chewing on it right now. This is why you see people get healed. While I preach the word of God, people get up out of wheelchairs and start praising God because they're eating roast lamb. Every time you people take communion, before I leave here, I'd like to serve communion around here. Listen to me. Did you ever wonder why you eat the bread before you drink the cup? I asked a young man out in my church. I said, why do you think we drink the juice last? He said, to wash it down, man. Now, that's a typical answer from a teenager, isn't it? I said, man, you don't even know what it stands for. I said, this will thrill you. You folks that are sick, listen to me. Before Jesus shed his blood on Calvary to wash your sins away, they took him to the whipping post, stripped him naked to his waist, and the man who wielded the whip brought it down across his back. Jesus Christ atoned for your sicknesses, and he carried them for you before he died for your sins. 39 stripes came down across his back. Medical science tells me that there are 39 original diseases. I don't know how true it is, but there are thousands of sicknesses and diseases, but they all stem from 39 original diseases. And if that be true, I come to tell you, my elder brother carried a stripe on his back for every one of those diseases. And you don't have to be sick, but you can walk out from your sickness and your disease, and by his stripes, you are healed. Because God cannot lie. It's a lamb for a man. It's a lamb for a house. And it's a lamb for a nation. Raise your hands and praise him a little bit with me. Woo. I thought I was going to be dignified today. I knew we were going to have this camera here today and I was going to be dignified, but I can't help myself. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This is it. This is the last stanza. This is the grand finale. This is what all them other lambs were leading up to. This is not a lamb for a man. This is not a lamb for a house. This is not a lamb for the nation, but this is a lamb for the world. And this is not a lamb that was taken from a goat, but this is the spotless lamb of God, the only son that he had, the male one, without a spot, without a blemish, Jesus of Nazareth. Worthy is the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Do you know who his forerunner was? Old John the Baptist, a man who never worked a miracle. Are you listening to me? This man never worked a miracle, not one of them. All he did was preach repentance, preached hell, fire, and brimstone. He'd go over like a lead balloon right here in Dallas. Nobody would come to hear him preach. He laid it right down along the line. You didn't believe, he'd say, you're going to go to hell. And right in the midst of all this, I underlined it in my Bible in verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, while he's preaching to his disciples, here comes Jesus down the road. And he stops right in the middle of his sermon and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Isn't this beautiful? Ah, this is the grand finale, beloved. But they didn't take his life from him. They didn't kill him. Not long ago, the Pope absolved all the Jews of having anything to do with the death of Jesus. I remember reading it. Not Pope John Paul, and not the one that he preceded, but the one before him. I even forget his name. But anyway, he absolved all the Jews. Well, I got news for all of them. There ain't no Jews killed him. There ain't a Jew living or dead that could have killed him. The Roman soldier that thrust the spear into his side did not kill him. This is what he was born for. He knew he was going to die. He knew the scriptures, and he knew the Lamb of God had to die. So he gave his life voluntarily. When he was in the garden, he almost winced and backed off of it. He said, Father, if at all possible, let this cup pass from me. Then all of a sudden he saw Shamgar in all of his sin. And he said, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Lowly! Thank God he went on. Hear me, beloved. Nobody killed him. Those nails didn't kill him. The crown of thorns that sucked the blood out of the veins didn't kill him. Jesus said, this one thing I received from my Father. He gave me power to lay my life down, and he gave me power to take it back up again. Hallelujah. This is the Lamb of God that's going to die for the whole world. This is what's going to shake the very foundations of hell. This is what's going to put the devil in the place of a defeated foe. Are you listening to me? This is the devil's end because Jesus is dying on Mount Calvary. This is the Lamb for the world. And I come to Dallas to let every one of you know that there is forgiveness of sins. It's a twofold deliverance. Salvation for your soul and healing for your body. You can't preach healing without preaching salvation. You can't preach salvation without preaching healing. They brought a man through a roof, a palsied man. Four of his friends ripped the roof off, tore it up, put him on four ropes and lowered him right into a teaching session. And the Bible says when he saw their faith, he said to the man, sir, thy sins be forgiven thee. Just the command. Didn't even have to say a prayer. Didn't even have to raise his hand for salvation. Didn't even have to walk down an aisle to get saved. But all he said was, thy sins be forgiven thee. The Pharisees and the religious leaders standing by became indignant and said, who does he think he is? Only God's got power to forgive sin. Jesus said, why do you reason among yourselves?
whether or not the Son of Man, and he used the term Son of Man, hath power on earth to forgive sin. He said, what's the difference whether I say to the man, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk? He said, there's no difference. I'll show you. Sir, rise, take up your bed and walk. The man didn't have a bit of sense, but throw them number 12s alongside that bed. Picked it on up and went home healed and saved because of the word that was spoken to him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! A lamb for the world! I'm sorry to have to be the one to tell you, but Buddha is not the way. Mohammed is not the way. Hare Hare Krishna is not the way. Mr. Moon is not the way. The Virgin Mary is not the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. And if you're going to be saved or healed or delivered, it's going to be because of Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Is that gentleman still here tonight? This afternoon that gave me that note when I walked in, told me this is his day. Deliverance. Where you at, man? Are you here? Come down here now. God's going to set you free. Come walking right up here, brother. That letter you wrote me got to me, sir. You was hoping it would.
Yes, sir, I was.
How long you been suffering?
About 2.5 years.
You want to share it with the folks?
Well, I haven't really ever gotten delivered from some bondages of the flesh and the self since I came to Jesus.
You haven't gotten delivered from them?
I haven't gotten entire deliverance from them, no.
And you want to be set free?
I want to be set free.
It's been tormenting you?
Yes, sir. And I've got a home life that's pretty pathetic, too.
The home is pathetic?
Very bad. And I know he can deliver me, and I believe he will, but I need some help praying for it.
That's what I want to know. Stand with me, everybody. Now, I hope you don't mind me doing this right on my broadcast. Because God's going to set you free. That's how I feel it. That's what he's here for. You're on the verge of committing suicide if you don't get deliverance.
Well, one way or another.
What's that?
One way or another.
One way or another. He's tired of this thing. Everybody throw your hand this way. We're going to pray. Get your hands up in the air. Father, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I feel that spirit right now. Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus, loose him and let him go free. Loose him. Take your filthy hands off. The power of the living Christ against every habit. Release your hold and let him go. Put your hands up and praise him, everybody. I destroy the yoke. Brother, I curse the habit, the lust of the flesh. Nailed to the cross, identified with Jesus right now. Released and set free by the power of the living Christ. Father, also a miracle in that family. Bring the whole family to the foot of the cross. The burden is lifted. For the glory of God. Say it again.
Hallelujah.
Say it again.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are witnessing a deliverance right now. A deliverance for the whole mind. The whole man, the mind, the body, and the soul. Brother, look at me. like Jesus said to those that he set free, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Go in peace and be made whole. Put your hands up and praise him, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you within the sound of my voice tonight, this afternoon, say, Brother Shambach, in my own heart, man, I don't know whether I'm saved or not, but I'd like to know. Come on down here and stand in front of me. Quick, I ain't going to plead, I ain't going to beg. If you want to go to hell, help yourself. But if you want to make sure, get out of that seat and come down here right now. Come on, move. Stand right here. I'm all over this tent. Now, this invitation is for the whole man. I wanted those with the soul first, having soul trouble. We're going to give you some soul food. Did you bring that lady in? Just the one. She's already had treatments? Huh? You got to go to the hospital? Are you the one who has to go to the hospital? You bring her? What's your problem, Mama?
Cancer of the kidney.
Kidney and the cancer of the kidney. Bring her up here. I'm going to pray for her up here. Stand right. Brother, you come with her. You brought her. There's a sister saw me before the service. Come here, darling. Is it your mama? It's your auntie. Stand with her. Thank God for somebody that's concerned about aunties. Aren't you glad somebody cares? Did you tell me she was going to the hospital?
Yes, sir.
When is she going?
This coming Tuesday.
And they're going to have to operate?
Well, I don't think they're going to operate.
What are they going to do?
They're more or less giving up, but I haven't given up because God is able. I know he is. Hallelujah.
The doctors already told her there's no hope?
Yes.
What'd they say, Mother?
Hallelujah. I may live 6 weeks.
Hallelujah.
When did they tell you that?
Last Thursday.
Last Thursday, they told her she might live 6 weeks. After I get done with you and get her name and address, sister. Stand right here, baby. I want you to stand in front of me. These folks came to me before the service and said, our auntie cannot stay long in the service. I said, you bring her about 4:30, and I said, I'll pray for her first. Didn't I tell you that? And I want to make sure I do my word. Where did they say the cancer was, Mama?
All around this side.
Kidneys?
Yes, sir. Going down in my bladder.
Going into the bladder. Now, I wouldn't know a cancer if I ran into it. The reason why she knows she has cancer, because the doctor told her. They tried to treat her. Did they give you any heat treatments at all?
Start next week.
They want to start heat treatments. Well, we're going to give you the hottest treatment you can get right now. Now, I don't mind telling you, I believe in heat treatments. But chemotherapy ain't hot enough. Radium's not hot enough. I found something hotter than radium. And it's the fire of the Holy Ghost. Mama, look at me, darling. Spirit of God's all over you. Do you believe what I preached? I preached a lamb for a man. But I'm one of them male chauvinists. I should have preached a lamb for a woman. This woman needs help. And there was a lamb that was slain just for Mama. Do you believe that? You that are coming for salvation, there's a lamb for you. A lamb for the house. Brother Branscombe, come down here with me, will you? I want you to hold this hand, this side of her arm while I pray. Would you please? Just hold that arm up. Dave Bryant, hold this arm up. This woman needs help. And I'm going to put my hands right in the area of that cancer, Mama. Right around the kidneys. You know what the power of God is, don't you? You believe God's going to heal you? Now, I'm glad she's here Sunday afternoon, because she got to go into the hospital Tuesday. Somebody says, but she won't have to go. But I want her to go. They're the ones that told her she got the cancer. I want them to be the ones that tell her she ain't got it no more.
Look at this. Five gods all over her. She don't look like she got 6 weeks. How many? Hold a minute, everybody. Let's get down to work now. We'll shout later. How many of you here today believe that God heals cancer? All right. Now listen, I want you to join hands with somebody, but wait a minute. Before you join hands with them, look at them and say, do you believe God heals cancer? And if they say no, don't join hands with them. You don't have to believe in it if you don't want to, but I just want everybody to be agreed with me now. Because we're going to believe God right now. I know you believe it. God for a niece that loves her auntie to bring her to church. With your faith, how are you? Are you related to the woman? That's your auntie too? God love you, dear brother. Well, all you need is two. But I'm going to join my faith with yours and all those thousands of people out there. With your hands joined, can you just hold them up, join? Look at that beautiful sight. Joined hands believing in miracles. A lamb for a woman, Brother Branscombe. A lamb for a house. A lamb for a nation. And a lamb for the world. I lay hands on my sister in the name of Jesus. Satan! I curse your power. Come against cancer. In the name of Jesus, I command the cancer to die. Pass from the body. Heal from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Into the kidneys. Down into the bladder. And every organ of this body. Let her feel that resurrection power. Right now. And heal. 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 That's God's power. Everybody raise both hands and thank Him now.
Thank God. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Mother, look at me, darling. By His stripes, I am healed. Do you believe that?
Yes.
That's why you come, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
I know you believe it. You know what I want you to do? Just go to the hospital. Don't say nothing. Just let them examine you again. They're the ones that told you you had it. They're going to be the ones that are going to ask you, where you been? What are you going to tell them?
Tell them I've been to...
Tell them you've been to Jesus.
Yes. Uh-huh. Tell them I've been to Jesus.
It's done! Turn around and tell somebody. Say, it's done! Go ahead and walk on off of here. Jonathan, give her some dancing music. Stay right here.
Everybody raise your right hand this way. Father, this little baby that was born this way with seizures, I lay hands on the mama. This is a miracle baby. I curse the seizures in the name of Jesus as I embrace this child. I don't blame you, honey. Cry. Command the seizures, go! Go! This baby never to have another seizure as long as this child lives. In Jesus' name. Remain standing, everybody, will you please? Everybody under this tent that needs a miracle of healing in your body, come on down here and stand right behind these folks. Come in closer with you folks, would you? Come in a little closer. I'm going to get a lot of you down here. Everybody that needs healing, come on down here now. Fill them in here too, right in close. Right to the edge of that ramp. Fill them in to the edge of that ramp when it fills up there. Just let them come in along that side as well. If you'd all do that, you'd all get well quick. Get your hands up and start thanking him for it while they gather in here. This is beautiful. Just go ahead and praise him a while. I want to talk to you, but I want you to praise him a little while right now. Come on, audience. Everybody praise him. Koraba satara lamando. Just keep your hands up and praise him, beloved. What a beautiful sight this is. To see people that are coming to receive a miracle from God in their life. Put your hands down. Look here at me for a moment, please. Do you believe what I preached to you this afternoon? A lamb for a man. Maybe I'd have been better off saying a lamb for a person. For one, singular. A lamb for a house. A lamb for a nation. And a lamb for the world.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yes, thine. I come.